And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. For you are my Lord. You are my Lord. Oh, love, more power, more of you in my life. More love. I will seek your face with all of my heart. And I will seek your face with all of my mind. And I will seek your face with all of my strength. For you are my Lord. You are my Lord.
Holy Spirit, set my life on fire.
Yes.
We sang those words tonight. Holy Spirit, set my life on fire. Do we want to be awakened?
Yes.
Were we singing, Holy Spirit, awaken us? Holy Spirit, I hear you. Holy Spirit, set my life on fire. We heard about listening last week to the Holy Spirit. How do we listen to him? And why does he even want to speak to us? Well, he wants to speak to us because he wants to set our lives on fire. But we have to listen first. And we have to learn how to listen. And Pat spoke beautifully about how when we were baptized, we became children of God. And in that moment of baptism, in that moment of sacrament, we received the Holy Spirit. And some of us as infants, and some of us as adults. But nonetheless, no matter when we received it, the Holy Spirit has been waiting to speak to us, waiting to say, come on, I have so much more. I have so much more. And how do we go to God? When you said Nancy Keller, the thought that's been with me all day today is expectant faith. And Nancy Keller came to my mind because a few years ago, she was the keynote at the conference in Charleston. And Friday night, she said, how do you all come here tonight? How do you come? Do you come with a thimble, little thimble, that you think God can fill up, or that maybe even you question God can fill up? Or do you come in that door with a vat you can hardly move and maneuver with, knowing that Christ will fill you up? I don't know. I think we came pretty expectant. Holy Spirit, set my life on fire. More love, more power. Isn't that what we want? How do we listen to God? Because he wants us to know his voice. He is our shepherd and we are his sheep. Last week, Pat touched on several ways. And it's so important to learn the voice of God. And he'll teach you the sound of his voice. And it's different for everybody. What his voice may sound like to me is completely different than what it may sound like to Janice. But nonetheless, he wants to speak. And he continues to speak, whether we hear him or not. He never quits. He never quits and he never gives up on us. Scripture. There's not one thing in this book is not left unturned. It has answers for anything and everything that you could possibly face. It is wisdom. It is God's grace. It is God's knowledge between these two covers. Always ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up before you read his word. Always ask the Holy Spirit to send his light on your mind and on your heart. Always ask the Holy Spirit to let words just come alive and jump out at you. Because when that happens, that is when the Spirit is speaking to you. The way that God has led me to do it is just to start reading. Just to start reading. And something eventually will just jump at me. And I stay with that. I may stay with it for 2 hours. I may stay with it for 2 weeks. But that is how the Holy Spirit has said, this is my voice. This is where I want you to concentrate. And if you concentrate and meditate upon it, I'll give you more. Because there's always more. Prayer time, hand in hand with Scripture, is so vitally important. You know, we can't come to God and do all the talking. We have to listen. We have to take time to hear, God, what is it that you want me to do for you today? How is it I can best serve you, Lord? Tell me, show me. Let me be open and aware of the people and circumstances that you will put in my path today so that I can build your kingdom here on earth through the power of your Spirit within me. I guarantee you, if you do that every day over and over again, you will hear it. You will hear it. And your heart will jump and there'll be little things running around in your mouth that if you don't open your mouth, you're going to explode. God will give you signs and he will give you situations and he will give you people. Amen. Mass is the perfect prayer. It is the absolute perfect prayer. We have liturgy of the word. We have liturgy of the Eucharist. We are being fed the words of eternal life and we are being fed Jesus Christ himself. Ask the Spirit, and the Spirit will speak and move in you and through you in a very powerful way during Mass. You're receiving Jesus. He is there. It's the Trinity present, so present at Mass. Through others, how he'll stick somebody in your path one day to say just the right thing when you needed to hear it. And through nature. And my nature place is the beach. I see God in the ocean. When I sit on the beach, I can watch it endlessly for hours because God is so present to me there and I feel such intimacy with him. So those are some of the ways that Pat talked about last week that we can get in tune with God. We can open our ears and our hearts and our minds and let his Spirit flood us. Jesus gives us his very Spirit, his very life and his very breath, and that is such a gift. A gift sometimes I think we take for granted. Possibly, maybe not in tune with every day. But it's such a gift. And if that gift isn't enough, the Spirit equips us to build the kingdom. We have the Spirit, and the Spirit says, oh, but you know what? I have a few gifts I'd like to give you to build the kingdom. And these gifts are also known as charisms, or gifts of the Holy Spirit. Just to touch briefly on what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. I think most of us have probably heard them before, so I'm going to go very briefly with what the gifts are, but I'd like to read it from 1 Corinthians. This says 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the discernment of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And all these are activated by the one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Different gifts, but the same Spirit. And the Spirit gives them as the Spirit needs, sees fit. So I want to talk about the gifts very briefly, the gifts of the Spirit. There are word gifts, and we have the gift of tongues. And that is the Holy Spirit using a person to praise God, to praise God in articulations that when they're heard, you know, they really don't have a meaning. It's often called a personal prayer language. In Romans, it says, you know what, sometimes we don't know how to pray. And so the Spirit of God prays through us. I know many times, you know, I've not known what to pray for. And so the Spirit, I just, you know, start praying in tongues. And it has to be the perfect prayer because it's the Spirit of God speaking through me, praying through me. And there's praying in tongues, which is personal prayer language, and there's speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is when tongues are spoken by one person at a gathering, and somebody is given the gift of interpretation of tongues, where that spoken tongue is interpreted. This is a gift that is used to build the body. Prophecy. It's where the Holy Spirit, or where the Lord speaks through a person, and it's a message that the Lord gives right here and right now, and it's a direct word from God. I think probably most of us have experienced somebody with the gift of prophecy. If we've been to prayer meetings or conferences, it is direct, and it is bold, and it is from the Lord, and it is for right here, and it's for right now. So those are the word gifts. And then the power gifts. The first power gift is faith. And that is when a person is given an internal conviction that God will act in a particular way in a situation. An example happened to be at a prayer meeting one night. Actually, a charismatic mass, and Father Patsy was the celebrant. And he spoke the word that somebody was being healed and that night, and it was their knee. And I found out 4 months later that it was a lady from our prayer group, and that was the first charismatic mass she had ever attended. And she had a complete and total healing on her knee.
Thank you,
Jesus. So, yeah. And then there's the gift of healing, and that's where just God touches a person and brings wholeness as an answer to prayer. And the healing can be spiritual, physical, or it can be emotional. The Lord still wants to heal. That didn't end when Jesus died. And the gift of miracles, once again, God touches and he brings wholeness, but it's in a dramatic way, like Lazarus from the dead. It's in a very dramatic way. The revelation gifts, word of knowledge. It's where the Holy Spirit speaks a word of knowledge, one word at a time. Pat, tonight, I think, had that, but it was more than one word. There's always more, there's always more, there's always more. Heard in the heart or sensed in the mind, and when it is spoken, it will be of spiritual benefit for one or more people. Wisdom is the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby somebody is led by the Spirit to either say or do something, or to not say or do something. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if anybody here has ever had the experience of talking to somebody and these words just come out of your mouth and they weren't in your head and you don't know where they came from. That's God's wisdom being poured out through the power of the Spirit. Or if you've been on the other end of that, where somebody will say something and you just, this light goes off and it's like, yeah, that's it. Thank you, God. Discernment of spirits. You sense what spirits are present in a person, in a situation. Can walk into a room full of people and feel the power of the Holy Spirit. You can meet somebody for the first time and discern something is really not, it's not right, something's really wrong. That's the gift that the Holy Spirit has given to somebody to discern what is going on. And there's natural gifts too. You know, we've all been given natural gifts, which, when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, are used to build the kingdom. Gifts of teaching and administration and music and writing. There are so many gifts that when the Holy Spirit gets them, they're taken beyond your wildest imagination to be used in the way that God wants to use them. Let's see what Jesus had to say in Acts 1, right before he ascended. While staying with the disciples, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And he replied, It is not for you to know the times or the periods of the Father. I'm sorry, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. Not you might receive power. If I'm having a good day, I might give you a little power. And everybody but people who wear glasses will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Goes together. You know, they're not exclusive. You're going to get that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. No questions asked, you know, black and white, you're going to get it. You're going to get the power to do the same things that Jesus did, the power to preach, the power to teach, the power to heal, the power to raise people from the dead, the power to cast out spirits, the power to love like Jesus loved. That's within each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. You know, I've often thought about what it would be like, what it would have been like to be in that upper room on Pentecost. You know, you're there, you're with the disciples, you've been through a lot. You know, you spent 3 years with Jesus in his ministry. You watched him love him, you watched him hate him, you watched him crucify him, you watched him carry a cross. Then he's gone from the tomb, and now here he is. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I told you to go and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I have to wonder, did they really understand what was going on? What was going on? What was going through their minds? Mary was with them and they're in the upper room. And this is what happens. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as a fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And then Paul preached. Peter. He was standing with the 11, and he raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And at the end of chapter 2, after Peter's preaching, it said, and about 3,000 were converted that day. So we have a before and after with Peter. Before the power of the Holy Spirit, and after. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. You're not going to do it. Tongues of fire descended upon Peter. And what did he do? Peter didn't go take a speaking class. Peter stood up because he became aware and he was awakened to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he stood up and started preaching. No classes. You know, he just went with it. He didn't do what I did. He didn't write it out. He went with it. And 3,000 people came to know Christ that day, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Before and after. Paul and Barnabas. It says, Scripture says they were set apart. They were set apart to go and preach. They traveled all over and preached and ministered together. Now, Paul certainly has a before and after. Paul persecuted Christians. He hated Christians, and he killed them. And what happened to him? He has this experience on his way to Damascus, and the scales fell off of his eyes. And when that happened, he was awakened to the power of the Holy Spirit. And he went on to write some great stuff. You know, both Peter and Paul had to take their eyes off themselves, and they had to focus on Jesus. And when we do that, we truly become connected to the power of the Holy Spirit, because we're looking to serve Christ, and we're not looking at the inadequacy that we may have. Because if there's one thing I have found out, it is that if God calls you to something, I don't care what it is, if it is of God, he will give you every last thing you need to do it. Because he is not going to call you to something and then say, see you later. He wants to build his kingdom. He wants to build his kingdom. And he uses people who have been awakened to the gifts of his Spirit and who have his life within them to accomplish whatever it is he wants to do on this earth. That is powerful. That is powerful stuff. Jesus Christ is using you, and he's using me through the power of his Spirit. And Mary was also awakened to the power of the Spirit when she said yes to be the mother of our Lord and Savior. She allowed the Holy Spirit to move within her, to do the will of the Father. And if she would have said no, where would we be? Look at the kingdom that was built because Mary said yes. And I have a quote here from somebody, and I'm sorry I did not write the person's name down, but the quote is this. When the Lord finds a Marian alike soul, he can do nothing but penetrate that soul with gifts and work miracles of transformation, just like in the Incarnation, where the Holy Spirit and Mary collaborated for Jesus to be born. For Jesus to be born. That's our call. Every day, it's our call for Jesus to be born. With the power of the Spirit within us, we take that Jesus life that is within us, and hopefully, we pass it on through the power of the Spirit to somebody else. So Jesus becomes alive in somebody else again, and again, and again, and again. But, you know, we have all kinds of things pulling on us. Life is busy. Time is precious. And we get tired. How do we stay awake? How do we become awakened? Well, John 15 says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Remain in me. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We go back to the basics. You've heard it before. Prayer, scripture, fellowship. We go back to the basics to stay awake. To stay awake. You have a community here. When you start to doze, and we all start to doze, when you start to doze, come. Come for prayer. Come to be filled up. Come to be renewed. Renewal. Be open to the gifts and charisms, even if you're not wild about them, even if you question them. You know, ask the Holy Spirit for a greater understanding of these gifts and remain open to them. I will never forget the first time I heard somebody pray in tongues. I wanted to run through the wall. And it was something that I wasn't quite sure. You know, because when one person would start, somebody else would start. And I would think, that's not real. That's not happening. They're just blah, blah, blah up there, you know? And I really had to pray about that, you know? And so God changed my heart. But if I would have shut God down, he's not gonna bolt. He's not gonna bolt through the door of my heart. He's gonna wait on me because I have that free will, just like you have that free will. So pray about those gifts that you don't quite understand or that you're unsure about. or that maybe even freak you out a little bit, you know? Our self-images can block the movement of the Holy Spirit. Definitely can block the movement of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to become awakened to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we need to ask Jesus to help us with our self-images. Is there something you're not forgiving yourself for? Is there something that you did yesterday that you just can't let go of? Do you have anger or resentment in your heart? Maybe you don't feel worthy. I don't know. We had Peter who denied him 3 times, and we had Paul who killed Christians, and we had David who murdered a man. And look at what God did with them. And that's the same thing he wants to do with each one of us here. So if there's something in yourself that is standing in the way of the powers of the Holy Spirit being fully utilized in you, take it to Christ. Be expectant. I touched on that a little earlier. Expect the Holy Spirit to use you. Not me, Holy Spirit. I can't do that. That's right. I can't do that. It's God's Spirit within me. I can't do that. And when you pour yourself out and when you humble yourself, Jesus Christ will fill you up and he will use you. Cooperate with the Spirit when he begins to move through you. Cooperate and don't shut down. Don't shut down. I remember the first time I had a prophecy. The battle was within me. Is this of God? Is this in my head? What am I supposed to do with it? And I did not speak it out. I did not speak it out. And I struggled with that one for a long time because I prayed for that gift. And God gave me that gift. And I didn't use it. So cooperate with the Spirit. But our God's a good God. And you know what? He bestowed it on me again. Praise God. You know, it's not a one chance and you're out. Learn all you can and soak it up like a sponge. You know, that image that Pat had, that sponge. You know, if we soak up the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, and that sponge can't hold anymore, then when we walk around with that sponge, it drips wherever we go. You know, it leaves a Jesus trail. Rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Rejoice. Praise and worship. Praise and worship is such a powerful thing to invoke the power and the movement of the Holy Spirit. When you praise and worship Jesus, it comes down to you, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit moment. It is intimate. If you're in a group like this and you begin to praise and then you're led to that place of intimacy, to that place of worship, and the King enters the room, it's you and the King. It's you and the King. And the Holy Spirit will move in such a mighty, mighty way. Because it's at that point that you surrender to his presence. And experiment with the gifts. This is great training ground, you know? This is great training. When I first got the gift of tongues, my fear was, you know, what if I'm in the grocery store and I'm buzzing down the aisle and all of a sudden, blah, 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 Jesus, you know? That was my fear. So it's better to do it here. It's better to do it here when you get comfortable with it. And then God, well, you know, he'll move those boundaries. It's wild how God does that. You know, first your boundary's like right here, then he moves it. And he moves it. And he moves it. And you grow. And you grow. And you grow. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is awakened, there is liberty. Freedom from self and life in the Spirit." So if the Spirit is awakened, we have freedom from the past. We have freedom from anything that binds us. And we become alive in the Spirit. a quote, once again, don't know who. One candle which is enlightened can enlighten many candles. If you are awakened, you can be used to awaken thousands. You know, God just wants our hearts. He wants our yeses. And he'll give us everything else we need. You know, but we have to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Take me and send me. Fill me and use me. Here I am. So, has the Holy Spirit been laying something on your heart? Has he been prompting you to do something? Has he been prompting you to call a person? Has he been prompting you to give a teaching? Has he been prompting you to step out of the box and do something you think you can't do? You know, I say, you light your candle, you go in trust and peace, and you be used by the power of the Holy Spirit to awaken others.